Good evening, everybody. Praise God, you are here. I am so grateful that you're joining us. I am under a commission from the Lord to help us do a very supernatural and quick work, people, and I'm doing my best. What's really difficult is that the deeper I try to go, the more resistant people get, because it's a very difficult thing to hear that we all need to change, and we need to change now, like now. There's a lot of things that are coming up in our world. There's a lot of things that are coming up, certainly in the kingdom of God. We need to take some ground now spiritually, be rooted and grounded. And so, yeah, it's a very, very difficult thing as ministers like Pastor and I, because we know so much of what God wants to do, and we know so much of how serious this time is. But when we press in a little bit, then people get a little overwhelmed, you know, and then they pull back, and then it becomes a bit of a vicious cycle. You know, then we have to pull back, and then the people slowly come back, and then God says, now keep teaching, and we push in again, and then people pull back. So it's a very interesting dynamic, and certainly a ministry like ours has gone through that since the beginning of time. But, you know, it's okay, because we're in good company. You know, the Lord had, at the end, he had 12 people that followed him. That was his church, his home church. Those are the people that he's truly invested in. And so all Pastor and I can do is keep doing our best, because we love you. We love you. And, you know, one day we're going to stand before God, and you're going to be there, and we're going to be there. And I don't want you to ever look at me and say, why didn't you teach me? Why didn't you tell me the truth? Why weren't you there for me the way God had asked you to be? I will not fail God, and I will not fail you. So please understand my heart that, you know, we're going to go deeper and deeper now, as we begin to get very serious and very real about who we are as people, what happened to us because of the fall, and where we need to go now. We're not going to focus too much on the old man. We know what that old man was like, but we do have to reference it here and there, not by way of recrimination, not by way of accusing or judging. We're all in the same boat. We're all growing up. We're all taking God seriously. We're all trying. We're all doing our best. Amen. And so I just want you to know that, you know, it makes me laugh, because when I'm just teaching, you know, and, you know, trying to help always, that's my whole orientation is to help, because I know how much we suffer when we don't know the truth. You know, for a lack of knowledge, my people perish. And so I always want to help. I always want to bring enlightenment and truth to you. But I also know that sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, that's the last thing I want to hear. But people, we literally learn our way out of the place that we're in right now. Whatever you're going through right now, no matter how difficult, no matter how scary, no matter how daunting, or no matter how kicked back, no matter what you're going through, the only way out of that situation is to learn. To learn and to grow. Tears are good. They help alleviate us. They help us release some of that tension. You know, talking to others, talking to our little tribe, the inner circle, you know, it helps, because we can unload some of the burden we're carrying. And certainly if they're the right inner circle and tribe, they're going to be compassionate towards you. They're going to want to help you and listen to you. But at the end of the day, you go back to the same situation. It is in learning and growing that we will pull ourselves out of the place that we're in. Amen. Well, praise God. Let's get started. Praise God. One of the reasons I really, really decided to start growing as a woman of God, not even because I was in the ministry, just as a woman of God, is because I don't want the day to come when I stand before Jesus and my husband has to tell the Lord, she was rebellious. She never listened. She never wanted to carry her load. She never wanted to respond. I would tell her we need to be in church, and she didn't want to. I don't want any of those words to come out of my husband's mouth. You know, I am that person. I am, if anything, if you want to know the truth, I'm woke. I'm truly woke, not politically at all. I'm woke spiritually. And I've always understood, maybe because since I was 4 years old, I walked with God, I loved God, I trod, he was my best friend forever. He's still my best friend. I told him this the other day. This is just to let you know who you're sitting under. Amen? It's important for you to see this. I was talking to God like I do throughout my day. You know, it's not every moment of the day, but throughout my day. He is, I take notice of something, I give him praise. We sit down to eat dinner, I give him praise. God is just a very big part of my existence. Amen? And so, sorry, I got a little distracted there. So I was talking to God and I said, Lord, I said, I love you so much, Father. And you are so real to me. And I am constantly in the presence of my God. I feel his presence. He is lovely. He is very natural and comfortable with us. And he loves us and he wants to interact with us. And so I was telling him that I see you, Lord. I hear you, Lord. I feel your presence, Lord. Thank you. And then my spirit kind of took over and I said this to the Lord and I meant it with every fiber of my being. I said, Lord, if I get to heaven and I don't know anyone up there, like I will not know my husband, I will not know my kids. Let's say we don't know what heaven's really going to be like. I said, I don't care. I don't care that I don't know anybody because you're there, Father God, and I want to be with you. That's who I want, Father. And, you know, so anyway, that's who I am, and my eyes are always open. I understand what God is doing. You know, we have it's a blink of an eye to change and prove that we want God for all eternity. That's why we change. It's because we're getting ready for eternity with our God. Amen? It's that simple. That should motivate you. That should make you realize, oh my God, it's worth going to church. Oh my God, this is important. Because we're all just getting ready to be with our God. Glory to God. Let's get started. May 2026. Do not fear the road ahead, for God walks with you. His hand will guide you, and his grace will sustain you through every trial and every change. Please trust the Lord. He is so beautiful and he is so amazing that if we can trust this amazing, beautiful, powerful, real, sincere God, that we're going to become like that. Everything that he asks you to do for him to change and to grow and to transform is because he's trying to bring you up to that place. You know, I know that there's some men that have joined us. It's awesome. I love it. I pray they always do because it's this whole teaching for the women is about transformation. And honestly, everything now is about us leaning into God, getting closer to God, so that his reflection starts coming on us, his personality, his character, and then we fit. Amen. You know, we've all been parents, and sometimes one of our kids or two of our kids just are completely different. They don't want to tie into the family. They always are independent. They want to do their own thing. They really could care less about being part of the family. As parents, you know that hurts. It hurts God. He wants to know that you want him, amen? So please know that God is going to lead us. He's going to get us there. I am beyond excited at what God is doing, amen? Praise God. We're in the season of pruning with the Lord. Very important. We're going to talk a little bit about pruning. We're slowly going to start going in now in a very constructive way. What I've done in the past, because again, a lot of us were very young spiritually, is that I've had to paint pictures here and there. This is a part of God. This is a part of your growing. This is a part of maturity. This is what God is looking for. But now we're going to start building systematically. And the first thing we need to understand is right now, today, we're in the season of pruning with the Lord. Let's talk about pruning a little bit. So the past exists to guide and warn you, not to trap you. If you're caught in the past, you've allowed it to be a trap. You're free. That prison cell, the door on it, is completely wide open. You can get up and walk out. Amen. You cannot do a thing about the past. You can learn from it. In fact, I now am, I've always kind of been, but now for sure I know that there's no such a thing as a mistake. You don't make a mistake. Oh man, I really blew it in life. Oh man, look at what I did in the past. Oh man, look at who I was in the past. There are no mistakes. What they were lessons that you needed to learn. You needed to get a hold of that information. If you had known better, you would have done better. You are a good person that way, that you're not, no one, none of us got up one day and said, I'm going to be wicked and evil and hurt people and just be a disgusting person. No one. But things happened to us that were very real. So many factors came into our maturing and growing up in our homes and schools, everywhere. Amen? But the past exists to guide and warn you, not to trap you. Stop being trapped by the past. This is a new day. In fact, I'll be honest with you. You want to get God bored with you? Keep talking about the past. He is all about today and tomorrow. The past we cannot change. And look at this here. Learn from it, but do not live there. Isaiah 43:19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. Say that with me. God is doing a new thing. And we are in a whole other level now of our walks, of our relationship with God. The next scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and I believe all of you that showed up tonight are in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Everything is new. Say this with me. Everything is new. Everything is new going forward. We are of God. We've been recreated in the most critical part, the part that would have condemned you to hell forever and ever and ever, and to be a slave of the devil on this earth, to be under his thumb and his torment and his assaults all the days of your life. That has been destroyed. That ability has been destroyed. It's been happening and continues to happen because we've not been able to learn to stop those things. But you are a new creation. Behold, all things have become new. The next scripture, which is 18, literally says, and now all things are of God. What we are living now is of God. If you're talking about the traumas that you grew up with, now listen, I can write a book on my traumas. You wouldn't believe the things that I went through as a child, as a teenager, in the first marriage. Just incredible things that resiliently I survived through the hand of God. There are traumas. If you're going to go that route, fine. Face the trauma and acknowledge. When I was 4 years old, I got molested by a relative. When I was 3 years old, I got molested by a relative. You know, face it face on. If you need to acknowledge it, and then get up and walk away. We have become a nation of trauma seekers, of trauma bonding, where we migrate to people that have had the same traumas, even men and women relationships. This guy went through hell like I did. He understands, so I'm going to cleave to him, and he's going to cleave to me. We're not supposed to have anything to do with traumas. Acknowledge it. It happened. But guess what? I've been made a new creation. I can start over now. I can let go of all of that. My traumas, my sins, my wickedness, my rebellions, the things I did to people, all of that is in the past. Amen? So we've got to let it go, people. This is one of the things that he's pruning away. Look. See those shears? That's what God is doing with you right now. If you are following him these days, this day and hour, he's going to start cutting away the stuff that is literally sucking the nourishment from you, from your body. Did you know it takes energy and a tremendous amount of effort to keep traumas alive? Did you know that? And God is saying, I'm cutting them off. I know that happened to you. We can't change it, but let's go forward. Let me help you with the future. Amen? Praise God. Is this making any sense? Can somebody tell me? I guess it's not making any sense. Oh, thank you, Michelle. Oh, John and Mona. Thank you, Stephen, Lisa. Okay, praise God. I told you, we're hitting the ground running. And right now, we have 15 people, possibly more because some of the couples showed up, or friends or sisters or whatever. But you know what? I am so proud of you because you heard the call. This is becoming supernatural, people. And you know what? This train is moving. And remember, I told you the remnant is 1/3. Now, I pray I'm wrong. I would love to get to heaven. And all of you say, Pastor Eva, you told us only 1/3 of the body of Christ was going to get raptured. I pray I'm wrong. I'll spend like the first 10 millenniums apologizing to you and making it up to you. How's that? But if I'm right, that's something I'm not going to gamble with. Amen? If it's 1/3 of the body of Christ, I'm going to get serious. I'm going to be ready. So let's keep going. Growth requires moving forward. Let's say that together. Growth requires moving forward. Maybe now we can see why we're not growing. It's because why we're not moving forward is because we are hanging on. We are hanging on to the past. So growth requires moving forward. Not anchoring is what in what is over. I know many Christians, many believers, and certainly the world, they don't know, that have literally anchored themselves to what's happened to them, to their past. And they can't move forward. They can't move forward. They'll hear a good message. It resonates with them. Oh my God, I want that. I want to be like that. And then boom, their past is right there and it makes them stumble and fall and they're right back. You know, honestly, I could write books on the many times I've been hurt by people, of course. Devastating wounds, things that people have said that they thought was nothing. And it was went like an arrow into my heart. But you know what? I know that the more time, the more minutes, the more seconds I give to that wound, it is stopping me from going forward. And if I keep on hanging on to those things, they become cemented as memories. Now, every time I see that person, oh my God, I don't want to talk to them. Oh my God, you don't even know what they did to me. And then we start talking about it. We start complaining about it and so on. So remember, not every memory deserves a home inside you. Oh, please listen to that. We all have a past. The more you, the longer you live, the more you have of memories and the past. I don't acknowledge them. I make them leave as when they're negative. Of course, if they're beautiful memories, good grief. That's only going to nourish your soul. It's going to make you happy. It's going to bring meaning to your life. But when they are negative memories, which is what mankind tends to do, we forsake the beautiful moments, the life, the sun, the moon, the laughter that we hear. Oh my God, We live in a neighborhood where a little tribe of kids run around, especially in the summer. Right now, they're still in school, so it's not so much right now. But in the summer, when I hear them laughing outside, I literally stop. And I say to myself, that's a melody to God's ears. To hear children laughing, living life. You know, children are nothing but life longing to be. I mean, but no, when we're caught up in the memories of everything that happened to me, you literally have taken a can of black paint and you're painting all over your life, just obscuring all the light, the joy, the beauty. We can't do that, people. Amen? Not every memory deserves a home inside of you. What memories are you carrying? You don't understand what happened to me. It was so horrible. Oh my God, you're reliving it. You're making it stay alive. It happened in 1943, but you're still keeping it alive, talking about it. No. Amen? Let's put it away. God prunes not to hurt you, but to prepare you for greater fruit. John 5:2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to cleanse, to purge, that it may bear more fruit. This is very important. If you're going to bear fruit in God, it's when he prunes you. When you're not bearing anything, he leaves you alone. You're probably not even part of him. And so if you are a person that's a believer and you're seeking to bear fruit, he's going to prune you because he doesn't want you to contaminate your fruit that you're going to take up there. It's being recorded up there. There's books being written about us. He doesn't want you to contaminate your beautiful new fruit. Amen? So he's going to prune you. Remember, it means to cleanse and to purge. He's going to take away, take away. I do a little bit of gardening. I'm not an expert. I love it. One of my joys is to go in my little tiny patio. It's like take three steps and you're to the other side of the patio. But and I've had larger ones when we were at Diamond. Oh my God, that was a gorgeous haven for me. I walked all over that yard. You know, anyway. So when you grow plants, it is very important that you prune away what is dying, what has died, what is dried up. Because if you don't, even though it's dead, it's taking up space in the pot or on the ground from your beautiful, good plants from flourishing. It's stopping the flourishing. And then also it takes the nourishment from the other plants, from the other shrub, a part of the flowers that you're growing. So pruning is very important. And God is pruning us now. He's not just, you know, maybe when I first started in the ministry, he would have been, oh, Eva, thank God, that was a good message. Now he's taken over. Oh my gosh, half the time, you don't even understand people. I really am serious about this. It is so supernatural now, whether it be on Sundays, whether it be a women's seminar, relationship seminar, or whether it be, he just is taking over and he's saying, no, I want to say this. Okay, Lord, because I follow, you know, a little systematic way to do this. And he's like, no, I want you, but Lord, it doesn't flow. Do it. They're going to understand. Just follow me. So everything right now that God is doing is pruning us. He's cutting off the things that are stopping your fruit from being born. And in a minute, we're going to see why that's important. Purging. Removal, eradication, elimination of parts that are dead or non-productive. What part of your life is dead? What part of your life is non-productive? Where are you not bearing fruit? And then it means to prune, means to selectively remove unwanted or unnecessary parts from something. There are some things in all of us, I'm at the front of the line, that God does not want in me. and it's unnecessary parts of me. And he's trying everything he can to prune those things away from me. I want to bear beautiful and good fruit. And we're going to know in a minute why. And then to trim a plant or tree by cutting away dead or overgrown branches in order to encourage growth. God is cutting away the things that are stopping you from growing. Now, this is the conundrum that Pastor and I, and of course certainly God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus, have. It's a conundrum. It's a catch-22 situation for us. We can help you by teaching strict and strong word for you to see, oh my God, that's got to go. That's the wrong behavior. But here's the problem, is that people are not quite ready to hear it. Don't mess with me. I like me. I've heard people say, if I have to change to be around you, then I'm not going to be around you. I'm not going to change. So we are trying to help shorten the time of your transformation because he's coming. And then people are like, oh no, it's the women's seminar. I'm too tired. I've had a week from hell. I don't want to do this. She has no concept of what my life is going through. I have more of a concept than you understand. We're a supernatural ministry. We are plagued with the infirmities of the people that sit under our ministry. We are aware. I am so aware when you guys are suffering, when you're overwhelmed. I feel it. I sense it. So we're trying to help you cut. Look, oh my God, you have all this overgrown stuff that's siphoning the life that you're trying to get into you on Sundays, possibly Wednesdays, showing up maybe on some Fridays. Let me help you. Let me show you. And then people are like, oh no, this is too much. And that is the problem that Jesus had. When he had the 70 and his disciples, the 70 got offended because he got a little strong and they walked away. 70 people walked away. And then he was left with only his disciples and he turns around and he goes, are you going to leave too? And they said, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. John Amato used to say that the 70 were the fluff. In a church. He said, in every church, you're going to have fluff. And it's the 70. They're the ones that come in and come out. They skip 1 week. They skip, you know, come to church two. And then you don't see them for a while. And then they come back. Sometimes they tithe. Sometimes they don't. He said, that's the fluff. He goes, that's what every church deals with. He goes, and the 12% are those that are steady. They're hanging tight. They're doing everything they can to hold on to the word that's being taught. They're growing. They're maturing. They want this to happen for them. Amen. So what we're trying to do now with the teachings is help you cut off, clip off all the dead branches that you carry. Look at this hand, the one with the hand. That's dead. That's what we're trying to do is help you remove all the dead parts so your plant can flourish and you can start bearing beautiful fruit. Our lives consist of the fruit we bear. You will know them by their fruit, Jesus said. What kind of fruit are you bearing? Well, you don't understand, Pastor Eva. I have to work and I have two jobs. And I've got a family to help support. I'm doing my best. I'm trying hard and so on. So half the time, I'm not able to really even be around. All I can do is go and work. What do you think Jesus would say if you told him that? Lord, I didn't even have time to be there with my family. Lord, I didn't even have time to grow and mature. Sometimes I skipped church. Sometimes I wasn't there on Wednesdays. Lord, I just couldn't do it. What do you think he would tell you? Where were your priorities? You know, you have a right to choose your priorities. God first, everything else second. God first, everything else is second. Without God, you're in a counterfeit walk. When God is not the most important person in our entire existence, and that we are keenly aware that God is God, and I'm going to stand before him, and I love him with all my heart, and I refuse to be without my God, then your life will get ordered in peace. You will enter into peace. There are two words for peace in the Word of God: Irene and Shalom. Irene literally means to be set at one again. You're not going to be scattered like a multiple personality person. You're going to be come one again. You're going to be at peace again. Amen? Because you are putting God first. We have never, ever put God second to anything. We have never chosen anything more important than God. Nothing. Nothing is important. You should see your pastor. He has to work full time still. He's already 70. A lot of people are basking in their retirement, enjoying at people at his work and so on. But he puts God first. I come out here and he's reading his scriptures in between work when he's down, like he doesn't have a meeting at that moment. He's shoving God in there as much as he can. God has to become our priority now, people. Okay, why? Let's look at this. John 5:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. She who abides, I put she, it says he, and I hope the men, you know that this, it literally said he, but I put she. I am the vine, you are the branches. She who abides, who lives and stays under me, and I in her, bears much fruit. There's much fruit. The choice. It's your choice. For without me, you can do nothing. Oh, Lord God, please hear this. Without God, without Christ, we can do nothing. Well, I don't know about that, Pastor Eva. I mean, you know, I got born again way late in life, and I, you know, I have a career, I have a family, you know, I'm a decent person, and, you know, how can the Word say that without him we can do nothing? There is the world reality, and there's the God reality. If we are born again, we are supposed to be living according to the kingdom of God rules. And he is telling you that if you are living your life, no matter how productive you are and awesome in career and money and family and friends and fun and beauty and all of this, if you are doing that without being connected to the vine, you cannot bear that fruit. It's worldly stuff that's going to get left behind. Don't take that chance. Walk with God. Stay with God. Bear fruit through him. And then 6, if anyone does not abide in me, if anyone does not live in me, she is cast out as a branch and is withered. I can't soften the blow. We're all under the anointing of this scripture. If we don't live in Christ, we are cast out as a branch. He doesn't want anything that does not belong to him. You know why? because if people are trying to stay close to him and get all the goods from God and, oh, you know, praise the Lord, I'm a Christian, he heals and, you know, he makes me rich and, you know, all of these things. What you're doing is siphoning the nutrients from the true believers, which is why he's dividing the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goats, right now. That's happening right now. And Jesus is looking at us saying, oh my God, they're doing everything but what they should be doing. The way of God is peaceful. The way of God is simple. The way of God is elegant. The way of God is the sure way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But if anyone does not abide in me, she is cast out. If you're not living in Christ and through Christ, you are cast out as a branch, and you're going to start to wither. Oh my God, Pastor Eva, that makes sense, because I am withering. I mean, I'm falling apart. I feel like I have no life. All I do is work, work, work. Oh my God, that's because you're not abiding in Christ. Remember, he's the river of living water. Come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He makes me lie down in the green pastures. He leads me by the still waters. He anoints my head with oil. Amen. God wants us and needs us to bear fruit. Your fruit is of eternal consequence to you. But he doesn't want you bearing fruit on your own power, because it's going to end up killing you. If you're living this life based on your strength, you're not going to last. I'm telling you. This is something you have to learn, is that if I want to make it to be 70 or 80, possibly 90, then I'm going to have to start living through Christ. And he's going to make you slow down. Slow down. Live this life right. Live it by faith. Oh, you need money for your rent and your food. I understand that. But I'm in covenant with you. Use your faith. And instead of working two jobs, I'm going to bring you one job that's going to bless you and fulfill your need so you can spend time with me. So we wither when he casts us out. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. You know why? It was a counterfeit. God despises the counterfeit. He really, truly does. He loves sincerity. He loves the real thing. If you abide in me, if you live in me and you stay under me, and my words abide in you, how much of the word is alive throughout your week? We're feeding you twice, sometimes three times a week. That's some nourishment, strong nourishment. I will tell you that. But all the other days, are you getting in the word some? Are you listening to the word some? Amen. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. There goes the rent and the food excuse. There goes the Johnny needs new shoes, so I've got to take on another job. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciple. My disciples. Bearing much fruit is how we're going to glorify God. We don't glorify God with our empty words. Oh, I'm going to spend time with God. Oh, this is a holy hour. Everybody leave me alone. Oh, Father, I glorify you. I glorify your name. Oh, I praise you, Father. We glorify God when we take the word and produce. Some 30, some 60, some 100. That's how you glorify God. Not with our empty words. Somebody asked me the other day, what about the rosary? Can we pray the rosary? What does that do? And I said, God gets bored with that kind of prayer. He talks about it in his word. Amen? Yeah, people, we glorify God when we bear fruit, and also we demonstrate that we're his disciple. After the crushing comes the crowning. We are going through a crushing. Some of you may even think, oh my God, life is so hard. I feel like I'm being crushed to death. Oh my God, I can't hardly breathe. Oh my God, there's no joy in my life. You may be mistaking that for what God is trying to do to us. He's trying to crush out the world from us. We're too fluffy with the word. Amen? We've got to streamline now. So after the crushing comes the crown. God rewards trust in him as he prunes us. He will reward you in ways you cannot even imagine. Life gets sweet, sweet, beautiful, tender, loving, gracious, amazing, bountiful, joyful. Amen. 2 Timothy 4:8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Here's a little plug for the rapture. I hope you're loving his appearing. I hope you're more excited about that than anything you're doing on this planet. If you are not in love with the rapture and being taken by the Lord, you're not going to go, people. I'm sorry to tell you that. I have scriptures for that. Why would he force you to go with him? This is all about the heart. You know, it's a love affair with his people. God loves his people lovingly. Amen. Revelations 3:11. Behold, I am coming quickly. He is coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. God is trying to deposit the word, his anointing, his power, the gifts of the Spirit. He's trying to deposit every spiritual gift under heaven into you. And you're supposed to be hanging on to that. But if you are siphoning the nutrients of that in not bearing worldly stuff and all this, you know, emptiness that we do in this world, then your crown, you could jeopardize the crown that God has for you. With God, all things are possible. There is always a way. This is actually a very beautiful picture, people. I like it. It's a tree, and this part, the bottom, the ground, is actually this long tube. It's like a rock coming out of a lake. All that blue stuff is all water. And it's like, how the heck is this beautiful tree growing out of a rock in the middle of a lake? There's nobody to take care of it. It's not being fed nutrients, and it's growing. Why? Because God wants it to grow. Do you think God wants you to grow? No matter what you're surrounded with, even if your life right now is stony and hard and you only have a little square to grow in, like this little tree. Do you think God can help you grow? Yes, he can. Yes, he will. If you are willing. If you are willing, he will do it. Change begins with honesty. Oh, maybe this explains why we haven't been changing a whole lot, people. Change begins with honesty. Nothing can be changed until it is faced. We're going to talk as we go along about the shadow and the persona. We're going to talk about neuroscience. And honestly, people, until you can face something, you can't change it. When Pastor and I were dating, I would hurt him as he would hurt me. We were very stupid kids. He was 21 going on 12. I was 24 going on 4. Very damaged people. Oh, you don't have an excuse, not any excuse for not growing because we were much worse than you probably. Very, very stupid, naive, traumatized like crazy. I was consumed in fear. Bill had a little streak of pride. But I remember one day, after dating for about 5 months, he told me, he said, "You know, Eva," he said, "you never apologize. You've hurt me a few times, Eva, and you never apologize." And I'm like, "What? What are you talking about?" Because I grew up in a house where my parents never apologized. And my father used to say, "If you apologize, you're showing you're weak. You never apologize for anything." So I was completely, it's like, what is what do you do when you apologize? I didn't even know. I had no idea. But it wasn't until I stopped for a moment and I faced it and I said, "Is he right? Am I not apologizing? Should I be apologizing? What is apologizing?" I had to face that about myself. And I said, "Oh my God, he's right." People, I did a study on apology. Everything from psychology, neuroscience, certainly the word. And what I learned is that when you do not apologize, that hurt becomes a huge brick in a wall that you're building between you and that person. An apology is a Holy Ghost little dynamite stick that goes and pew, you burst the wall. You stop the alienation. You stopped the hurt, the pain, the memory. I had to face it so I could change it. And I changed it. There's been many a times, people, many a times, that I've apologized to people when I did nothing wrong in order to bring peace. It becomes your second nature. Who cares? My pride is gone. That's the problem, is that in the center of our being is a trunk the size of the huge redwoods up north in Northern California, world renowned. Oh my gosh, in every ring carries years and decades of things that we've just stored and carried. Amen? Keep going. Change feels risky until staying the same feels worse. Oh, I love that. Isn't that amazing? Change feels risky until staying the same feels worse. I took a chance by apologizing. I'm like, is he going to apologize? Is he going to be nice too? I had to take a risk. But guess what? What would I have been like if I never learned to apologize? What would I have been like? I would have stayed the same and gotten worse and worse and bitter and bitter and hard, harsh and self-righteous. I didn't hurt you. You're making too much of this. The next one. The secret of change is to focus all your energy, not on fighting the old, but on building the new. I didn't sit there and say, I have to go psychoanalyze myself and I need a psychiatrist and a psychologist and I need a life coach because I need to learn how to apologize. I mean, I don't know how to do that. No, I embraced it and said, that's right, apologizing is a good thing. And I changed a lifelong pattern that ended up probably saving our marriage. Along a lot of other changes that we did. But it was a big one, people. All we need to do is start doing what the word says we're supposed to be like now. We don't have to psychoanalyze ourselves to death so we can understand and then we can change it. All you're going to do is confuse yourself and fill yourself with clutter. If God says to forgive, just forgive. Face it, embrace it, and make it your own. Did God forgive you? Did God forgive you? This is our time for honesty, a time to get down to the nitty-gritty. to the core facts. Look at the picture. Many faces. We carry many faces, people. Oh, we're like that with the guys. We're like that with the girls. We're like that when we go out drinking. And we are like that when we are angry. And we are like that when we are whatever it is that we're doing. We have many faces, people. When we're trying to posture and, oh, look at me, I'm so pretty. Oh, you know, people at work, they notice me because I am so attractive and I want to be attractive. You know, the guys, oh, I've got a great body right now. I really look good. What faces are we carrying, people? Gosh, there is nothing more terrifying. This is from the things that I'm studying. I have read, I literally read this, people. There is nothing more terrifying for man, woman. There's nothing more terrifying for man than to look into his inner world and finally acknowledge who he really is. There behind his many masks. However, this is where redemption really begins, the renovation. When we start doing the internal work. You know what I've seen, people? Is that we judge others, we talk about others, we accuse others, so that we don't have to deal with us. Look at that person. And look at what they did. Do you want to know what they did to me? So we talk about others and blame others because we are petrified to see who we are. Who am I? Who am I really? If all the faces come off, who am I? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. What if part of our work here on the earth is the work we accomplished in ourselves? I can tell you that it's a resounding yes. I'm just asking. Isn't that the greatest work of all? Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. We can't rule our spirit when we're playing the face game. Oh, I got to be popular now. Oh, I got to go home and deal with the husband and I'm mad at him. I'm angry with him. I'm hurt with him. He's failing me. Oh my God, the kids, you know, they don't even understand how important I am. Everything that I do for them, I'm going to put the mommy mask on. That's not very happy. Remember peace? Irene said it one again. God is trying to eliminate the many faces we carry so that he can see and do the work of causing us to be one, real, sincere. That's what he's trying to do. Why is it that we put on the nice mask when we leave our houses? But when we're at home, we're grouchy, we're tired, we're mean, we're exhausted, we want, we need. Why? How can we have the nice face for the world and then the few people that God has given us, we put on that other mask? We've got to be real now, people. Why do we have to posture and act like the dude, man? I'm on top of the world and look what I can do. You know, and then at home, you're like avoiding the wife, avoiding the kids. And ladies, of course, us. We can be so much fun with our girlfriends, the night out. Oh, we're having fun. A few drinks and, you know, we're partying and we're just having a good time. We're just living life, Eva. But then we come home and we put on a whole other face. God's done with that, people. He's done with it. He wants you to be the same always. He'd rather you be cold or hot, but not lukewarm. Amen. Praise God, people. I'm going to go through this and then we're going to stop. The three faces of Eve. I've taught this before, and this applies to Adam, except Adam might have a few different things. You know, like he forsook his leadership. He forsook watching over his wife in the garden. But we're talking about Eve, the three faces of Eve. The first one is the fallen Eve. That's the one that caused, you know, the beginning, because Adam could have stopped it. He was supposed to stop it, and he didn't. The fallen Eve, rebellious. And please, do yourself a favor. I do this all the time with myself. I tell myself, Eva, that was evil. Eva, that was wrong. Eva, you should not be doing that. Eva, what are you thinking about? I call myself to the carpet now, finally. But do yourself a favor and see if any of these things are running in you, because that's part of the fallen Eve. Rebellious, ungodly, narcissistic, fearful, destructive, drunkard. We are in a place now, people, where none of us should be getting drunk. That's like preschool, not even kindergarten. That's preschool Christianity. Drinking because we've had a rough life. Drinking because we can't forget the traumas. Drinking for whatever. The Proverbs literally says that a man drinks to forget his woes. Why are we drinking? Oh no, it makes you happy and partying and all that. Be careful of your testimony. Destructive. Drunkard. Party spirit. Oh, this is boring, man. I want to go to a party. I want to go out and have fun. Dude, when the life of God is coursing through your being, watching a simple Korean drama is the best. It's so rich. Everything becomes rich. The other day, we went out to have dinner at a very simple little restaurant. And we were both so happy and joyful. That was nice. Wasn't that wonderful? Some of you, unless you're going down the Thames River in London or in Paris on the Eiffel Tower, it's not going to be awesome. That's not right. Party spirit. Now, I have a beautiful clan. We get together and it is so much fun. We have fun together. No one's getting drunk. No one's fighting. We're either at someone's house just sitting and talking. But it's not a party spirit. I'm not talking about not having fun. I'm not talking about getting together. I'm talking about that need to be in the mix and have a lot of people around you and partying. You know what I found out, people? The more you are around a lot of people, the more sin can happen. Say, I love Pastor Eva. It's true. It's true. We have to be simple now and elegant in our life, people. And then unfaithful. Unfaithful to God. Unfaithful to her husband. And then seductress. That's a big thing for women. Oh, we got to be looking really pretty because, you know, let me see how many guys can check me out. Why? Why? Angry, hateful, and cynical. Ooh, men, women can be so cynical. It will blow you away. And then you have the born-again Eve, which is obedient, submitted, selfless, full of faith, full of faith, full of faith. Builds versus destroys. I do not use my mouth or my hands to destroy anymore. I want to build. I believe the woman is the heart of the home, so I want to build something beautiful here for the people I love. I want God to be our guest every day. Amen. Builds versus destroys. Gracious. Oh, what a beautiful word. To be gracious. To be classy. To be dignified. Holy. Oh, we should be holy people. Sanctified. That means that we are intentionally setting ourselves apart for God. And then sincere. What we do out of sincerity, out of a pure heart. And then being the real thing. I hope you pick up this little habit that God taught me. You know, it started off probably about 3 years ago, maybe. You know, where, you know, let's say, oh, somebody in the house left all their dishes on the counter. And I would walk in and I'm like, oh my God, when are they going to start putting this away? You know what I would tell them? Am I a maid around here? I'm serious. And you can be made to feel that way when you're always picking up after others. But every once in a while, for heaven's sakes, I would look at that and I would say, no, Eva. I was, you know, getting ready to complain and I would say, stop it. This will take you 5 seconds. What's more important? Making a point over these 5 glasses on the counter? Or destroying the peace in your house? What's more important? Okay, so things aren't going to be perfect all the time, but you'll be in peace and people will love you. Not everything is going to be perfect in this lifetime. That's a big, huge lesson I had to learn. But God began to tell me, yes, daughter, pick that up. Put those dishes away. It'll take you 2 seconds. Be the real thing. What's the real thing? A gracious, loving woman that's not going to be thrown off her pride tower because she has to put 5 dishes away. Now, when we're training people, especially the children, sorry, Bill, when we're training the children, yeah. When we're training the children, you have to tell them, no, come back here, little Johnny. But that should stop around 15, 16, guys. You know, there's nothing wrong if you want to remind them, look, I am a little tired. Please, can you put that away? It all depends on... Why do I always have to be the one to clean up? It's not worth it, ladies. You just took 5 steps back. To be sincere, to be the real thing. God began to tell me that. Be the real thing, Eva. Do nice things when nobody's going to notice. Just do it. When I cook dinner, I pour my heart on it. It could be very simple. Most of the time we do eat simple. Some kind of protein and a vegetable. But I try to do it nice. I don't just throw it together, you know, oh God, I got to feed them again. No, be the real thing. I'm a servant. I'm a servant. And then there's good and beautiful fruit. That's the born again Eve. We're cautious of what we're building. We're cautious about bearing good fruit. God once showed me, oh God, people, many times the people that have gone to heaven and come back, they say there are no words to describe what they saw. This is the same thing here. God showed me a tree. We were in Armstrong Building over there, the one before the pandemic. And he showed me on the stage, I was getting ready to teach, and he goes, look over here. And I looked to the side, and there was this incredibly beautiful tree. Very lush, very beautiful. And on the tree were fruit, but they were adorned. They had like these beautiful colors. They were like alive, like shining. And some of them even had, it seemed like jewels. Like some of it was so beautiful. It had beautiful stones on it. And he said, that's the fruit that people can bear in heaven. I mean, that people can bear here that is shown in heaven. And then the last one, the persona mask. The carefully, what is the persona? We're going to be talking about that next time for sure. We're already in it, believe it or not. I'm leading you into it. But the persona is, there's two parts to us according to Carl Jung. And I'm going to give you a little background on him, which I happen to agree because it jives with the word. He says that in all of us, there's a persona and then there's the shadow. The persona is this. Look underneath the persona mask. The carefully crafted image we want others to see. That's what you allow us to see. Like that party girl. She might have just gotten in a big, huge fight with her husband. I'm going with the girls. I need my time off. And I need my girls. And blah, blah, blah. And when she gets in the car and she drives off, she's fuming. She gets to her girlfriend's the party at the bar, and they're going to have a great time. And she puts on the mask. This is the image I want my girlfriends to see because I want them to like me. I want us to have a good time. And so now I'm the party girl. Oh, she's here. We're going to have so much fun. Why couldn't you be like that at home? The persona is the image we have crafted that we allow others to see. The shadow is the real person that you are. Let me see this next one. Oh, good. We'll stop here, I promise. So you have the fallen Eve. She's on the left. You should have seen me in drill team. Oh my God, I was the girl that was always off. Anyway, because I couldn't remember my left from my right. So you have the fallen Eve on the left. You have the unregenerate Eve. She's born again, but she hasn't changed very much. And then you've got the real thing in the middle. That's who shows up. That's the person that's done the work or has begun to do the work. So which of your Eves does God and others deal with and see? Which Eve are you showing? Defiant, angry, hurt, upset, bored, disappointed. Or the unregenerated Eve who tolerates, but she still makes you pay. She tolerates because she's a Christian. Or the real thing. People, I love you. You are very courageous. I'm very proud of you. I pray you come back. We're going deep. I'm trying to help you to get the work done before he comes.